this podcast, I want to talk to you about using both objective and subjective measurements in your training. Now, let me define those for you first. So objective measurements are things that don't require a human observer to measure. So you can measure it with a watch, you can measure it with a metronome, you can measure it with a measuring tape, you can measure it with counting, you can measure it, externally is another way to think of it. Things that could be measured externally, things that don't interfere or are not interfered with by human bias. So our watch, stroke counts, tempo, time, speed, these kind of things are objective measurements. Now also distance, the length of the repeat, the total amount of yards or meters in the set, those are forms of measurement that are obviously important. Then subjective measurements are things that you measure using your own body as the detection device. So that's sound, that's sight, that's sensation through your nervous system, like the nerve receptors on the surface of your skin, feeling pressure, temperature, flow of water, your proprioception, sensing where your body parts are mapped out in space and how they're moving. Subjective measurements is how you feel, your perceived effort, whether it feels easy or moderate or difficult or exhausting. The sense of ease, like how easily you can execute the movement, how precise it is. Are you hitting your targets? Is your body moving in the movement pattern that you've trained it to do and it's following your intentions? These are all different forms of subjective measurements. Now, what I want to advocate for in this podcast is that you need both of those in order to train in a honest way. What I mean by that honest way is whether your motivation is for fitness or for performance, that only using objective measurements or only using subjective measurements does not give you a complete picture of what your body is really doing and how well it's doing. So, for example, you could jump in the water and you could swim 200 yards, 200 meters, swim it faster than you ever have before. So the distance was measured. You looked at the time and saw that was faster than you've ever gone before. But that's only one way of measuring how well you swam. Just because it was faster doesn't mean in every way that matters to you that it was a better swim. You'd have to throw in some other measurements, some other qualifications to determine whether that was truly a better swim. Because you are, I believe, concerned about wear and tear on your body. You are concerned about whether that was an efficient use of energy. Because if you swam a 200 faster than you ever swam before, but you still have another five of those to go, or four of those to go to finish 1,000 yards, you might be wiped out just a little bit past that 200 mark. So you would need to also throw in some other measurements in there to determine whether that faster speed was really indicating whether you've made an improvement or you need to train in a little bit different way. So if you're performance-oriented, that's a good example about being performance-oriented. You want to go faster. You want to be able to swim further because you have a specific distance or speed goal in mind. But you also need to be concerned about how well your body's moving, because the more poorly your body is moving, the more you're going to suffer during that swim. And the more that you tolerate poor movement patterns in your body, the sooner your body's going to wear out over these next few years or many years. So you should be concerned about how well you're using energy inside your body and how well your body parts are working in relation to each other and how well your body's working in relationship to the water. Because all that stuff is going to cost you something. And energy is a limited and slowly replenished resource, takes recovery. And your joints and your tissues, they can recover as well as long as you don't damage them too much. So, if you're performance oriented, you really do need to be paying attention to subjective quality, subjective measurements in each of your practice sets, especially the more difficult practice sets, the ones that really push you physically, so that you are training in such a way that you are not just saying, yep, I completed 10 200s, got it done. You're saying, no, I completed 10 200s and I did it well. My stroke precision was awesome on all of them. Got a little shaky on the last two, but I held it together. Then you can walk away and feel really good about what you did, because not only did you cover the distance, you covered the distance well according to efficiency and joint health, right? Now, let's flip the coin onto the fitness side. The fitness swimmers out there, it's like, yeah, I don't care if I swim really long and I'm not trying to beat anybody. I don't care if I go fast. Well, obviously you would be interested in how well swimming feels, and that tends to be the common interest, the common desire to train in a smart way for fitness swimmers as well. You want swimming to feel better, want the body to feel better. When we get out of the water, you don't want to feel thrashed and devastated. You don't want your joints to hurt. So fitness swimmers are very motivated to make sure the qualities in the body are as they should be, training for those. So how does it feel? How smooth is the body moving? How precise are the movements? How low can we keep the turbulence? The sensation of turbulence around the body as water's flowing past. These things are, and then also keeping effort level within the range of what we've intended. If you're not out to get wasted after every swim practice, then you're gonna swim at a more restrained pace and effort level. But fitness swimmers, if you only go by these internal sensations without taking external measurements, you don't really know for sure if the sensations that you have are translating into a better product, actually swimming better through the water. You also need to measure stroke length, stroke count. How many strokes does it take you to get across the pool? Because that gives you an idea. It doesn't complete the picture, but it gives you a good idea about how streamlined, how stable is your body position. If your stroke count is way above, it's much higher than what would be appropriate for your age and your body shape, then that would be an indicator that some things in your body are not working as well as they should. You're not as coordinated as you should be, and that lack of coordination is also risky for the joints, joint health. And then streamlining through the water, obviously the benefit of streamlining is you slide easier through the water, you make forward progress easier, but also excess drag slows you down, can cause parts of your body to sink lower than they need to be, can cause obstructions in how you're trying to move through the water, being resisted by the water in ways that you don't need to be working against. So stroke counting is really useful to you. And then using tempo as well to help you train to have a very consistent tempo, even if it's at a comfortable tempo, just training your brain like a musician would train to keep the beat on the music. So this is also really good, beneficial brain training, because now the brain, just like musician's brain, is being trained for precision and in terms of time, and precision in terms of location of the movement patterns. So this is really good for the brain health, stimulating the brain to grow. And then here is a nugget. I'll probably spend another podcast talking about this because it deserves its own time, its own discussion. And here's the thing, fitness swimmers. If you don't stretch your current capabilities, if you don't go up to the fence, up to your limits, and push a little bit past them, you will lose the capabilities you have now. Because just like here in Oregon, we have blackberries that grow on all of the fence lines in the farmlands. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at them right now as I drive down the highway. If you do not come up, the farmer does not come up and cut those back, they will grow out over the fence and start spreading out into the field and encroaching on the field. And in the field, its useful space is getting smaller and smaller as long as those blackberries are allowed to grow. So the only way to keep the size of the field the farmer has is he or she has to get out there with the machinery and they got to cut those blackberries back, got to jump on the other side of the fence and cut them back on the other side. And they have to keep maintaining that fence by going past the fence and pushing and tilling the ground on the other side. So keep that in mind, fitness swimmers. You do need to do exercises that push you past, a bit past, what is comfortable and you're currently capable of, meaning a little bit higher heart rate, a little bit longer strokes, a little bit faster tempo, a little bit longer distances, a little bit faster speed than what's comfortable for you, just so that you can stay stretched out past the capabilities that you want to protect. So hopefully that makes sense, and I'll make a note to myself to talk about that further in another podcast. So with that said, fitness swimmers, you need to use those external measurements, time, distance, tempo, stroke count, so that you can see that not only are you maintaining your current capabilities, you are going past them a bit, and you are protecting what you've got in that way. All right? Does that make sense, I hope? Okay. So keep that in mind, all of you on the performance side and all of you on the fitness side, and then all of the rest of you in between there somewhere. Keep up using objective measurements and subjective measurements. Keep them accountable to one another, and your practice will be so much better informed and so much more productive, and your training will produce a better outcome. All right, I'll talk to you later.